have had some technical problems.
We are live. It's the Naughty Show, Playboy Radio. I wish we had the Jeffersons music. Moving on up. And when the bunny calls,
yeah,
you answer.
You don't run from the bunny.
This is the Naughty Show. Here's Sam, Gareth, and Vicky.
Yeah, we are back. Yeah. Bam. Look who's here.
Well, Sam, you're here.
Welcome back. It's Playboy Radio. It's the Naughty Show. All things comedy. Great. If you guys listened to the last episode, last hour, phenomenal. A lot of fun. Went really well. Jackie was great. I think Jackie was scared to come on the show.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know what she thought. And when I walked in, all those porn stars were all in the lobby. I'm like, her worst nightmare just came true.
Yeah, it is like every guy's dream, and then it's got to be like every kind of nerdy girl's
just
nightmare.
Like, just, I mean, she must have
watched
just been pictured
three times.
A room, just everyone yelling, ass to ass, ass to ass.
Yeah, that's...
We're like, no, we're just going to interview you. It's not going to be some weird gangbang or anything like that.
Well, I mean,
if she wanted.
You never know.
Real quick, we got a great guest. He's sitting in. We'll bring him in 2 seconds. Wanted to talk about this whole MTV VMA thing. Everybody's going crazy over. Okay, I don't know what drives me crazier: the fact that everyone thought that was crazy, or that everybody over 25 sits on Twitter, floods my feed, bitching about the VMAs. The VMAs have been dog shit for 15 years. Why are you watching it? If you're over 30 and you're watching the VMAs, you're a creepy human being. It's
or
over.
Really high.
You're no longer youth. It's not for you.
But Robin Thicke's like 51.
No,
he was up
I
there.
Got my whole thing about that. A lot of people hate Miley Cyrus. You know my opinion on her.
You're
love
kind
those
of, you're kind
big
of,
donkey teeth.
You're a little Robin Thicke, little Armenian Robin Thicke.
Well,
what
know,
do you think of that?
You know what's consistent with this is how much the girl in the act gets the shit and the guy just gets a free pass. Have
yeah.
you noticed that?
Yes.
Even
yes,
back to,
I
like,
have noticed there's a double standard in media.
You know, it's like Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake, didn't take any hit on that.
No.
He's whipping the tits out. She's shaking them. And he's just like, man, that was crazy. And he just walks
it's
off.
Like, hey, my bad, Janet. Have a good year.
Right?
I mean, you whip out a chocolate titty versus a saggy white ass. I'm sorry.
First of all, ass ain't saggy.
Oh, did you not?
She's
see
talking
the
about Robin Thicke.
Oh, you're talking
right?
about Robin Thicke.
You meant Robbins. I get you.
No, I'll tell you why. And what she did on stage was the ultimate F you money thing I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen someone go, I'm rich, bitch, and just flip off the entire nation at one fucking moment.
It's when she made the index finger start to fake jizz. I think that's when you were like, oh, okay, she's really deep
it.
In a riff.
I'm rich, bitch.
Deep
that's
in
what
a riff.
That was, man. She probably put that together 2 minutes ago. Like, what are those costumes over there? Everybody throw them on. Just come out here, and we're just going to dance, do some karate, and then that old dude over there is going to come out, and I'm going to grind on him, and every guy was going to be jealous of it. That was the biggest fuck you money I've ever seen in my life. Fuck you. There's no artistic value to it. It's like, I'm rich, bitch. That's all that was. And everyone's like, oh, I'm angry.
I was just scarred. That was just too much.
How is that too much?
That was just too much. You know how some people say that's too much ass? There wasn't enough ass.
Well,
that's what's really what it was. Well, there wasn't enough
girls
ass.
Girls do this thing now where they wear these
Show
shorts.
Show us your pussy, Miley. I agree. That's what we're saying, right?
It's so weird where like the shorts get up there and it just opens it up. And I'm like, how do you wear shorts that tight?
I don't.
I'll tell you how you wear it when you're rich, bitch.
Yes.
That's how you do it.
Well, if you like yeast infections, I mean, go
I
ahead.
I love them. Yeah. I love a good yeaster.
You know me, bro. I'm in.
No, yeah.
Chomp,
Sam,
chomp,
Sam
chomp,
loves
chomp.
Bread.
I love the stuffed crust pizza.
That's
I'll tell
right.
you that right
you
now.
You sure do.
I ain't afraid of no stuffed crust.
You're goddamn right you're not. Not my Sammy.
Thing all day.
Not my Sammy.
Dude, you know what they did? They actually found a way, Hollywood, to take, you know, the best of Britney. No, I wouldn't even say Britney Spears. Who are we going to say? Let's say Pink, maybe.
Sure.
And they combined her with Paris Hilton and Kim Kardashian, and they put her in the one.
Mm,
now they
like
got
a beautiful creature,
somewhat of a talented. Just why?
No,
talented.
I don't think Miley Cyrus is awful.
No, but talented.
Come on now, they could have. They could have put Kim Kardashian.
I know it's hard to believe.
Oh, you don't think they would have tried that if they could? They couldn't.
They probably would.
They couldn't. I'm not Miley Cyrus. I love Miley Cyrus. I don't give a shit. I want to do bad stuff to that girl.
Oh, no.
I love those freaking teeth.
Yeah. Oh, that's the teeth. Again with these teeth.
Dude, I'm into teeth. I don't know why.
You're
into
teeth.
I totally get it, Sam. I'm on your side for this.
See, the guy with the black belt's on my side.
Yeah,
well, yeah, but he was a black belt when he was 13.
It carries over. You don't lose it.
That's when people are growing into their teeth. That's why that's the connection.
Are
we ever going to get Coney?
No, we're never going to get Coney.
We're done with that, right? We put a pin in that for a while, and then since then...
We're never going to get Coney because that guy smoked bath salts and just started breakdancing naked in San Diego.
My mom caught me jerking off once, and I thought that was as regretful as a jack-off can be. It's not. It's when you literally are getting more kids fucking enslaved and murdered because you went near the beach to just fucking whack it and do push-ups.
It's fucking crazy, dude. It's crazy.
All right, I just want to make sure that was over.
I'm going to bring on our guest because I'm just happy. He's just sitting here. Could be in all on this. He is one of the funniest young comics coming up today. I love watching him gig. You know, I'm an old dog. I'm not that old, but, in terms of the comedy in Los Angeles, I'm an old dog. I've been around a lot. You know, and you see a lot of these kids get pushed up very quickly. Some of them funny, some of them this kid's legit funny. This kid could come up and perform at any time. Some of these kids would get picked up if they. I know this sounds like old man shit, but back they would get worked. It'd be a rough set. But this kid's very funny. You see him on. He's done a lot of incredible shows. Big part of pop culture. MTV's Punked. Arrested Development on Netflix this season, and he's on an upcoming show on ABC called Mixology. Please welcome Andrew Santino.
Thank you so much.
Andrew.
It's weirder when I'm the only one who claps. Yeah. You guys can't fucking throw a golf clap a little bit
into the mix. I introduced him. I got clapped, too. I mean, reading shit.
I appreciate the clap.
I don't have a mic stand over here.
Yeah.
You do improvise, man. A knee slap. Yeah. I could have taken. Thank you.
You're getting built? Are you shredding up?
I'm trying to get in better shape, man. I went to the doctor and I was overweight and he was like, we got to test your cholesterol. And he was like, it's terrible.
Your cholesterol?
It was terrible.
At your age, your cholesterol is terrible.
Listen to this.
What are you eating fried butter?
Yeah. On Tuesdays. Yeah. But he said to me, he goes, this is really bad. Could be hereditary. Called my dad. His was fantastic. My dad smoked cigarettes for like 50 years straight.
Oh, yeah.
Like since he was since he was 10, my dad smoked cigarettes. Yeah. My dad did cocaine for 30 years, has better cholesterol than me at 30, having never done cocaine.
And where's your dad from?
Chicago.
Oh, Chicago cocaine, mm-hmm. too.
Good
that's real deal cocaine.
Yeah.
That's real. They'll make you swim with the fishes if
Midwest,
they cut that up too much.
That's right, man. You get some brick shoes if you fuck that up.
Yeah.
What do they
do in the winter when the water freezes over? They're like, oh, shit, he's getting away. We dropped him onto the goddamn ice. And the guy's like, fucking hustle.
They just stab him. Stab him and leave him in the streets.
Yeah.
It's too cold for the cops to come out. They don't give a fuck.
No, yeah,
what, another kid's dead? Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
It's below 20 below.
Chicago's so interesting. Chicago's literally the only city where I've never met anyone hate to see that's from there. They've never, everybody's like, I love it. Chicago's great. I love it.
That's
I love
awesome.
It.
We have to.
But, dude, it's the craziest thing because, like, the winters are freezing, the summers are hot, and they just kill homeless people and elderly people.
Yeah.
You're going to lose grandma eventually one summer. Grandma's going
to
go.
But at some point, grandma does need to go. She's a little naggy.
At some point, she's just making the lines longer for some bullshit she doesn't need to be going to.
I need to get my Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Yeah. I don't need $10 checks anymore.
She's been here 50 times. She's acting like she's never been in here before.
Right. No, you know what, though? We do lead the country right now in murders. We're great in the summer.
We
post great numbers in the summer.
Chicago's murder situation right now is fucking crazy.
It's insane.
It's crazy.
Yeah, but no, you know what? People say that. It is. You know why it's not crazy? Like, logically, it's so fucking hot. And if you were poor and didn't have air conditioning, I would kill people. I would absolutely kill
100%.
People.
100%. Yeah.
It's 94 and I don't have AC. I'm going to stab the richest guy I see.
Yeah?
I would. I'm okay with that.
Just have the dual window fan that you're like, you piece of fucking shit.
As if that works.
Yeah.
You're
$30. I want back, you fuck.
Have you seen, the Vice? We talked about that before.
Oh,
Vice
did
a whole episode on it. It's like, and it's the weirdest blocks, too.
Yeah.
It's like one side of one home is like one gang. The other side of the other home is another gang. And if you just walk over
there. Yeah, you got to be careful. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's the only city I know where it's like literally the train tracks where my old apartment was growing up. Across the train tracks used to be called Cabrini Green. It was like the ultimate. They knocked them down now. Now it's all gentrified. But that was literally a dividing line. Across the tracks couldn't have been more of like a literal old, you know, phrase, turn of phrase like, oh, don't go across the track. It was the shittiest neighborhood. And then across was like, it's fine. Just white people going to fucking Jewel. That's our grocery store.
Yeah, right? Jewel.
It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense, man.
It doesn't make any sense. It's such a weird thing that there's just this segment of society just won't play by the rule. And then it just boom, boom, boom.
Don't call the grocery store Jewel either. It's Jewel. A horrible name for
Jewel,
like...
Jewel, Dominic's and Jewel.
Jewel. Guys are like, let's go get that fucking Jewel.
Now, you start comedy in Chicago?
No, I started out here. You know what? I started officially out here for real. Because you know there's a time when you like kind of dabble and it's bullshit and you don't really go full speed. But I went full speed when I came out here. And I got my licks at the fucking store. When I first started, it was the, you know... It's weird now, even hearing you say that, and I appreciate what you said about me. It's very nice. And I like, when I came in, it was fucking so much tougher than I see now. It's a different world. We didn't get shit. It was almost like if you didn't show up swinging, and if you were even a little bad, you got fucked off fast.
Yeah.
Now it's kind of like there's more room for failure, and it's okay. And
well, you came in when there was a log jam in the lineup, and the guy wasn't turning anybody over, and he wasn't developing any young kids. And then all those guys just started going on the road, and there was this huge void.
Yeah.
And he had to fill it very quickly.
Yeah.
So then it's good and bad. It's just like a bunch of young guys started getting credits, but started getting spots, and then it became about credits.
Right.
And that's why I kind of like think it's sad, because there's a lot of young guys that I think are really funny that don't have credits yet that like to get spots. There's guys like you who have credits, but you would get it anyways because you're funny. You're legit funny. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. No, that was like the thing. It felt good earning a spot without having something major to promote behind it. It's weird to see someone just get something because they got one thing, you know, they got like a fucking guest spot or whatever, and they're like, oh, you're passed. But, you know, this is the kind of thing that we're all old manning about. That's like YouTube people are fucking legit now. You know what I mean? Like that.
No,
they're the biggest people on the planet.
The Vine thing is weird.
Vine. Yeah. There you go.
Here's the thing. A friend of mine, she's dating a buddy of mine, just running around. She's a cute girl. I've had her on the podcast before. She was talking all the time, talking all over everybody. I'm like, okay, well, you're my friend. Somehow gets 2 million followers on Vine, won't return phone calls anymore. Right. I'm like, are you crazy?
Yeah.
Really?
God, I want to know who this is so bad.
I know who it is. She used to be around the comedy world.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's very weird, man.
Let me
say this, and this is not because I don't hate on what people do. I don't give a fuck. Like, there's one thing I took from my dad, and it's a metaphor for everything. Worry about your own dick. Like, worry about your own dick. And 100%. He's saying that literally, and metaphorically.
That's how he ends the cholesterol call. He's like, well, worry about your own dick. Goodbye,
doctor. I'm dead. No, but it's true. It's like, you know, when someone worry about it with someone, if you worry about somebody else's issues with like a relationship, like, oh, I heard that he was cheating, she was cheating. Worry about your own fucking issues. And also on that level, like, I can't be concerned with what other people get, and good for them, but it's strange. What you're saying is it's weird. It is weird to see people get shit and you're like, really? What the fuck happened?
It's not even that I don't mind it, because, you know, my whole thing has always been someone's got to get something.
Yeah,
because
sure.
There was a time before a lot of you guys were here where I'd move into town, and for like, I'm not lying to you, like 5 or 6 years, nobody got anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nobody was getting any. Nobody was getting even little bits here. Like, Steven Azizi was the first one to get a punked, and, you know, that was a big deal. But that was like 3-4 years in. Nobody was getting anything because the older comics hadn't left yet.
Yeah.
So I'm like, man, nobody's getting anything. And everybody started popping. And, you know, and you're like, oh, that's great. But what gets weird is when it's like people, you know, kind of are like, they don't act like they don't know you anymore. It's not like, oh, rah, rah, rah. It's a weird psychological thing. And, you know, you remind me very much of Maz Jobrani. And I don't know if you take that as a good thing or a bad thing. I mean in a very high compliment, because Maz Jobrani blew up and I know he's Middle East, and that's probably a bad term to use about him, but he did. He blew up, and he was always the same dude. It was always the same thing. And I always said that, man. man, no matter how big you get, no matter how whatever happens, you should always remember, man, you know, it's like where you were and where you came from and all that stuff. And just, you know, you're blessed because you don't know, as talented as some people are, the amount of luck that comes in with making it, it's
crazy.
Just crazy. Are you in the right place at the right time? Do you know the right people? And it's just like to get some kind of ego over it, just it drives me crazy.
To make it in this game, you have to hit the lotto so many times, it's weird. It's like almost crazy. Shocking. Like, I'm on that new ABC show. Honestly, man, getting through casting, hitting the lotto. Getting picked, hit the lotto. Testing for network, hit the lotto. Making a pilot, hit the lotto. Getting the pilot picked up, hit the lotto, like it's ridiculous.
People
makes
don't
no
understand
sense.
The amount of phases you have to actually
it's
go through to end up on TV
it's crazy,
on something
right?
successful.
Yeah,
it's fucking
it's
nuts.
But you're doing it, man.
It's
you're
crazy.
You're hitting thing after thing after thing. It's got to be great. I mean, you're in Arrested Development.
That
I mean, that's got to be huge.
Doing that in The Office was crazy, and then I did Family Tree, Christopher Guest's new show, who, like, that was my biggest boner, because he was like...
Was that awesome?
Dude, he was so cool. He'll never hear this, so I can say shit about him. But he was a great dude. He just is a strange bird.
Yeah.
He flies on his own fucking path. Like, when I came in, they were like, Christopher wants to meet you. The gig is yours. He just wants to meet you. So in my fucking comedy brain, you're like, I could blow this.
Yeah.
Like, I could go in, and he could be like, "You're fuck you. Get out. Yeah. You lost it." Yeah. But he invited me in, and we went to his office, and I sat down, and I had a tea. And he was like, "Coffee? Tea?" And I go, "Ah, it's tea." He's like, "Why?" And no shit, I talked for like 5 minutes about why it was tea over coffee, because he didn't respond to me. He just sat there and looked at me, and I was like,
"Let you keep going."
Yeah,
you're
I was like, "Fuck, I gotta go again." So I just had to keep going and going and going till the end of the meeting. It was over, and then he just looked up and goes, "All right, I'll see you in a week." And that was it.
That was it.
That was it. He just wanted to. He wanted to like feel me out or something. I don't know.
There's this Woody Allen documentary where they say what he would do in casting is he would just sit in the back of a room.
Yeah.
And they would bring someone in, and they wouldn't even read lines. Sometimes he would just someone would walk in, and he'd chew them away.
Right.
And he'd either be like, "I want him" or "I don't," just based on how they
you
walk.
You never
into a room.
Know.
It's like the Lorne Michaels thing. You know how they make you wait for 6 hours at 30 Rock, and then they send you home. Sometimes they're like, "He's gone." But he's there.
Yeah.
But they just want to fuck with people to be like, "Can you handle any of this shit?" But going back to what you're saying, for real, I appreciate what you say. I think the only reason that I've kept my head on straight is some people innately are prone to like know how to handle shit, and you just have to like be like, "Dude, this is all could be over tomorrow.
Worry about your own dick."
Right. Worry about your own dick. And some people, once they get it, they're like, "It's over. I quote unquote made it," which that means
crazy.
That doesn't mean anything anymore. Making
that's
it
why
isn't
if,
making
if
it.
If you come, if it almost like understanding that comes with like getting kicked in the fucking gut a ton of times.
Oh, yeah.
Then you realize, like, you know.
I think that's why I have gone on my own path.
That's,
I just like to be able to do my own thing, make my own decisions, and it's moved so slowly, but it does keep moving and keeps getting bigger and keeps getting bigger. I just think I'm just on my own bird, dude. I really do believe that, man. I'm just not. God bless you two, because you guys both go on auditions all the time. I can't take it. I can't. It's not my thing.
But that's a good thing. It's not some.
It's just not.
Some people do it. Some people don't.
There's
good.
A huge downside to doing that, though, too.
Doing what?
Going out, like, you know, going and parking your car 2 miles away from a fucking place where you don't have a shot at getting something, where it's going to be a straight offer to somebody famous. And that happens so many fucking times that, I mean, it's not that you take it personally, but of course that it gets really frustrating.
Yeah.
Like, and to the point where it can be, like, really negative and...
You're very zen, dude. You're very zen.
Well, here's why, though. And you're right, but the only thing I think about is I always got to think how lucky that this is I make money doing this thing.
Yeah.
This is retarded. Like, what we say, we're like, "Oh, I had to park an audition." And my dad's like, "Yeah, I threw my back out moving bricks. What the fuck did you do?
Worry about your own dick, Dad.
Yeah, worry
Goodbye.
About your own dick, Dad." He's like, "You're worried about parking meters running out? I'm worried about getting
there
a job
done." There is something
done.
Like that, man.
So, like, the balance of, like, there's going to be so many negatives in this gig, but we can only see them because the positives are so slim.
And don't you think if you went back in time and told you at 14 your situation right now, he would be like, "What
fuck?" Yeah, he'd be
mind
fucking
blown.
Jacked.
If I said Playboy to the 14-year-old me.
Oh, my God.
Like, just jizz all over
my
the room.
You're both whacking off together.
I'm whacking off to him, whacking off to me, whacking off to our future.
What's going on? It's like an Escher painting.
Well, your comedy changed, dude, with all the stuff going on, and the more and more you get into the, I mean, you're working for the mouse now.
It's the man.
Does that is that going to change the comedy that you do on stage? And that's fine.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's like something like Jeff Garland. He can be pretty dirty on stage.
Yeah.
And he's also got kind of the mainstream career.
He's on ABC, too. He's got a show coming out.
The Goldbergs.
Which, by the way, is going to be, in my opinion, one of the best shows on the network. Because it's like a new Wonder Years. Like, if it's fantastic. Like,
has he been working forever?
Yeah. Garland's one of those guys that works
now,
forever.
Now, before Curb Your Enthusiasm, what was he doing?
I mean, nothing as far as like a head heavy role, like a heavy role. But he always did a lot of stuff. Like, he's always done a ton of stuff. He's one of those guys that, there's a million guys around the business that you don't know, but they're constantly doing stuff. You wouldn't know because they don't go around bragging about it. That's the difference.
That's another problem.
They're not like, hey, look at me on all this shit. They'll do so much shit. You could go visit them and be like, you live in this mansion? And he's like, yeah, man, you don't know what I do.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Like, that's what's the quiet, humble ones are the giants. Those are like the big giants. I mean, I don't want to mention names, but there's guys that you and I both know mutually that are like, they do great shit. No one really know. I mean, people know, but like in a very low, they fly right under the radar.
Yep.
And they've got great careers and they will forever. There's a great documentary on Netflix called That Guy from That Thing. I think that's what it's called.
I was just listening to Jay Moore on his radio show this morning, and they had that guy on. We're like, something like, where do I know that guy?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's like all these guys are like, yeah, I've been working for 45 years. I couldn't be happier. I have kids and a wife and people that enjoy me, and nobody fucking bothers me.
I want to go around and just nobody gives a fuck about that I'm in the room. And right now, I'm right there. But I would like to have money associated with that as well. And my point being like,
that's easy to achieve.
It breaks my heart watching this Lamar Odom thing on TMZ
you
and
buy
stuff.
Into this? Are we buying into this?
What, with him having a crack problem?
That he's got crack?
I'm buying.
Do you? Because
his dad was a crackhead.
I know, man. But
he used to have drug issues too.
But crack is such a like not even fun drug to me. Like if I was rich and I was gonna blow it on anything, like I'd go maybe like an ecstasy binge somewhere, like out partying in Rio or something. Like I get that because you're like yeah with girls and drugs and like crack is the most anti-social drug.
But why
for a celebrity? I'd want to be like I'll do meth with anybody at the club, but like crack, you're in your room alone, naked, scratching scabs. I just don't buy. It's weird. It's a
ignoring the Mavericks call.
I just don't know why they would lie about that.
Yeah,
I think crack is just like there's certain drugs where like you can socially come back from it. Like if you're like, oh, he's on heroin. Well, that's kind of rock star-ish. You come back. Something about crack that says you've hit a bottom.
Yeah. But that's because I don't think crack is crack around anymore, really,
oh,
really.
I think it is. I mean, the mayors get busted for crack all the time.
But I think that's because that's the only drug they can hide the best. Because everything else you can get with a snap of a finger.
The most confiscated one.
Right.
They just go to the evidence room.
Yeah, that just snag and go. That's it.
Mr. Mayor, you're going back in there again? Ah, yeah, the case is almost done.
I want to make sure everything's lined up neat and orderly. You know, my ADD's kicking
Order
in.
Order me some teeth from online, gentlemen.
What would be your bottom out? Trip, what would be the one that you're like, if I'm gonna fucking blow it, where would you go to?
Just like what, just party and stuff like
yeah,
that?
But if there was
well, you know that I've dealt with drugs and alcohol problems. Like I had like a whole bunch of shit going on. I just fucking went out and just got crazy, man. And
yeah,
like,
but what would be
I'm
the
now
one to kill you? What would be the one that you're like, if someone said like, dude, you gotta die this week, because otherwise you're gonna die. You gotta die this week on a drug. You have to do it. Which one are you gonna die on?
Oh man, that's a.
Come
I have
on,
to
Sammy.
Die. I can't die on Christ. I'm gonna go with. I'm gonna go.
Say your baby.
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna throw some crack, meth, and all in together. I mean, if I'm going out. I'm not saying I'm doing it. He's saying that the Grim Reaper's looking at his watch.
Because essentially,
give me 7 days.
This is that when you say rock bottom for Lamar Odom, like in the social brain, it means he's just being like, "Fuck it, I'm bailing." And if I die, or if he gets into a car accident, going to grab more rock because he's so fucked up or something, he's totally okay with it. That's kind of what the rock bottom is.
I think he is there. I think he doesn't care. I think he doesn't understand where he's at. I'm telling you. The reason I think it could be crack, I don't think he necessarily went out and found crack. I think he found somebody who happened to have crack, and he started smoking it. It's like the famous guy that fucks the fat intern.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're the famous guy who could get any chick. You just bone that intern. Why? Because she was there, and he could.
Right.
It's more about opportunity than actually seeking it out.
Right.
I got to fuck a fat chick. No, man. It's like
I got cameras everywhere. This chick is in. The doors are closed. Let me get a little strange once in a while. Well,
and that intern happens to have a huge bag of crack.
Yeah, right?
That's what it is.
I'm telling you.
And that intern's not going to be fat for much longer if she has that huge bag of crack.
Well, he's all over the place, man. You know, it's like he's constantly like, I mean, you always hear Lamar Odom popping up different places. Well, and these guys play all these rec balls all over the place.
Yeah.
And I'm telling, it's not hard to believe that someone has shown up having crack or smoke crack or being a crackhead.
Right. Well, I think the first mistake that any of these guys make is getting married. I don't get it. Should be against league rules to get married as a pro athlete. And they're like, when you're done, you can get married if you want to. But as an owner, as a businessman, I'd be like, fuck that. You're going to ruin something. If you get married, it'll ruin everything. You'll Jason kid yourself into punching her you'll Kobe Bryant yourself into something. You'll Tiger. There's so many examples of these guys doing things that fuck up their career for a short amount of time or a big chunk of their career.
I'll tell you.
I'd make it illegal. I'd sign a contract. You sign with my team, I'll give you a shitload of money. You can't get fucking married. Cannot happen.
And you know what? What happens with these guys is they're such alpha males, right? And men understand social hierarchy.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if Kobe Bryant walks in, we know who the alpha male is, and we're all playing the game. Women don't see that.
Right.
Women don't understand social hierarchy, because a girl could be born in a trailer park and look great in apple-bottom jeans, and boom, suddenly she's hanging out with the fucking A-list actors, done nothing to get there except for looking great in these jeans, does not understand social. And that's why these guys, who wear everywhere they go, everyone's like, bowing to the king, bowing to the king. This chick's like, fuck you. It blows their mind. They can't handle it. And they're like, so they get attracted to this one girl who doesn't fucking show them any respect. And then they get in and they're financially hooked. And this chick gets pregnant, trying to get pregnant because this guy's got cash. And it just fucks their head up, man. Yep. They just can't handle it. It's the weirdest thing. It's like, it's this weird social thing we have where it's totally okay for a woman to get pregnant by a guy just to get paid. It's the weirdest fucking thing.
What's his name? Cromartie? Doesn't he have like 19 kids or something?
Hard Knocks last year when he tried to name them and he literally
couldn't
forgot.
Name all his kids.
But that's living proof of what you're saying. Because every one of these girls is like, I'm from the hood. And he'll fuck me and have a kid.
Yeah,
because I'm old school. Like, he wants this the good. He can have any pussy in the world. He wants some tough pussy.
Yeah.
That's like, that I'll put up shit with him. And you know what I mean? Like, that's the shit that these athletes are like, I gotta fuck this girl.
Yeah.
She's tough as nails. I gotta fuck this girl.
Right? I gotta break that spirit. It's like, it's like some weird kind of horse movie where they gotta break the wild horse.
It's the war horse.
I know you think I'm crazy in there, Sapphire. You know I think I'm crazy, but it's so true.
I mean...
Tell us, Chocolate Mama.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm. My little ginger baby.
Oh, I love you. This World Reese's Cup, this is peanut butter and chocolate. When this is over,
I'd love
on.
To watch you guys bone if it's possible.
Oh, all right. No.
Is there anything comfy here? This couch is all right.
That couch is good. All right.
Dragonfly,
carpeting.
Scoot down two seats, and then they're going to bang on it.
I mean,
No. You're in, man. You're in.
you said too many things. Like, first of all, the whole going out... with the whole drug bust thing. I mean, you're going to be one happy motherfucker. I don't know if you could even die from that. What, I'd from be too what? Happy to go up to heaven with all that shit in my system.
What do you mean? I could kill myself.
That was the weirdest thing I've ever heard. I thought you were telling me don't do it. You're like, fuck yeah, man. Crack heroin, meth, all in one thing.
And then it transfers into heaven where St. Peter's like, have you been doing meth?
Like you got
no. Why? What gives you that? What? How's God? Is he here? Can't touch his beard. What's going on?
Like you have to flunk a drug test to get into heaven.
Yes. Oh, my God. I mean... on some too many levels.
Well, is Lamar on it right now? Do you buy it?
I kind of do buy it. I mean, but there's so many things involving that whole story. I mean, like Sam said, you could probably fall into it. It happened.
You know who's the winner?
But you look at that history, it's just like...
Kanye is the winner. They're like, God, remember when Kanye was here? That guy was such good energy. Remember those days, the good old days when Kanye was here being awesome?
Oh, no.
But the Kardashians, man, it's just like, what weird energy they are, man. Like, she's like begging for people to like give her privacy. It's like, you can't at this point.
Oh, yeah, fuck
you.
You've
asked
I mean,
for
really.
This is what you've asked
you.
For.
Here's what's insane. You know what's insane about that whole scenario? What blows my mind about the Kardashians? Here this fucking lady, the mom, prolifically yells at the media about exploitation. But honestly, the main reason your family is recognizable is because your daughter fucked a rapper. Like, are you crazy to think that that's not the reality?
Not even a rapper.
Yeah, right. Okay. Someone's brother.
Yeah, someone's
famous's brother.
Yes.
Right.
Someone's brother.
Yeah. I know the guy who does all the sex tapes, and you know who pushed her to do that? Was the mother.
Of course. But it's amazing that when she announces how like the brashness you people coming into my life, like, you don't play so dumb. At least be self-aware of what's happening.
Her especially.
Yes,
she made a video called I Love My Friends when she had fuck all to do. And it looked like in the 80s it took like 2 weeks to shoot.
Oh my God.
It's like, you fucking cunt. You don't understand that there are people who work their fucking asses off, and you're just like, I love my friend.
Do you know?
Fucking moron.
She went on a promotion of a book, and the whole like selling point of that book was, hear about my affair I had on my husband.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what she was talking about on the book tour. What is that?
This business is so funny, but they love that shit. Like, like, first of all, the fact there's no fucking way she wrote a book. Like, there's no fucking way. Like, so many people
that
are like,
she was too busy with her friends.
On a boat with my friends in the water.
I love my friends.
There's so many people that you hear, they're like, I'm coming out with a book. You're like, what?
Yeah.
You didn't write. There's no fucking way you wrote a book.
Yeah, you.
That's impossible.
I know so many comics who put out books. I'm like, there's no way you wrote a book.
Not a chance.
It's going to be great when you're reading your book.
Yeah. Right.
I wrote a good book. My book's really good.
I don't remember saying all this shit.
Look at the depth I show.
We feel that fire. I'm not saying we as, but the royal we, man. Like, listen, you know, when you go to the middle of the country, man, and you perform for these crowds, you know exactly who they are and what they like and what they listen to. And like, shit, my mom's friend, her very intellectually progressive, like, intelligent woman, is like a fiend with pop culture and loves all that shit and watches every show ever of anything like Kardashian this or any reality show.
My mother loves it. My mother loves it.
So we're a big hypocrite country because it's like everyone hates it, but yet it's never going to go away.
Well, you know, it's like what took me a while to accept with Los Angeles or Hollywood is that, you know, the entertainment part of Hollywood is women's sports. What men love about sports and how we get into our teams, we love our players, and we love the dramas, and we love all that stuff, and we can't stop watching SportsCenter. We'll buy the jersey, we'll buy the NFL season package, we'll do all that stuff.
Right.
Women love the behind the stories of Hollywood. Who's dating what? What happened on this movie? Oh, look at that dress. Look at this. That's what fuels them. That's why so much of Hollywood and the entertainment business is geared towards women, because that's who's buying everything.
Yeah, that's women's. That's a great women's sports is fucking. That's a great way to look at it. It's obsessive culture.
Yeah, guys, sports. It's a $1 billion industry because that's what we get behind.
Right, because we won't get behind the other stuff.
We don't care. We're like, who's dating who? Who
it's
gives
not
a fuck?
Well, it's just not important enough to us, but to them it is, because it's something to surround themselves with, like. It's a great way to segue. You could speak with me, Chocolate. So many times I see girls talking out in public. I'm not kidding. You could see a group of us talking out in public having lunch. It'd be just a passive conversation that wouldn't mean anything, right? It's non sequitur shit. Girls out, I feel like almost always, they're not even listening to each other. It's like
they're
saying shit to say shit to move time till they go to their next fucking thing. Like, go listen to a group of girls talking, and I guarantee you hear this a lot. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah, no, totally, yeah. Uh-huh. No, I know. This is literally that. It's like a program in their brain to go, get through this stage, get through this stage. Where guys are like, here's my argument. I'm waiting to yell at you. I've got shit to say. Like, it's a constant stream
of
thought.
Into it.
Or we're just always nitpicking about who's wearing what, who's dating who. Oh, well, so-and-so broke up with... It's
right.
Always that.
Where does that come from? Is that just when guys were out in the... fighting wars, you guys are just sitting around, and you're just like, what's going
on
in the village?
You won't believe
let's just
what
talk.
Fucking Fang said last night.
Yeah.
Think about it. Like he said, it's an obsessive culture. It's an obsessive, like, if we don't look good to you guys, I mean, who the hell are we going to look good for? Yeah.
Well, I always say women don't dress for men.
Oh, sure we do sometimes.
They I think sure now they're
the sometimes
to.
Is key there.
Yeah.
Now sometimes. They're starting to, but I feel like a lot, like the girls who walk around with the shorts that their ass just hangs out, yeah. That's dressing for men.
Yeah. Right.
But when they go out to the nightclubs, they got all this these super outfits on. Yeah. That's dressing for women.
Hey, you ever had a girl say, "How do I look in this to you?" It's always quite a little predicament.
Yeah. Right. You better be careful with your words on that one. Yeah. That's all I have to
no,
say.
No. There is no words. You don't say shit. I ignore that question.
Trapped.
That's it's a terrible question. There's no way out of it. It's a fucking dead end. How do I look in this means so many things. It's trapped. Unbelievable. It means like, how are we going to deal with this bad news that I got on Monday night?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How the fuck are we going to talk about? Remember what happened to Jim's friend? Like, it's so much streamlining shit condensed into one phrase that like when I hear it, I'm like, I'm going to throw up or I'll run away because yeah. it's a fight. It's an automatic negative thing.
Or
that's
just
all
Hail
it is.
Mary.
Are you dating right now?
Yeah, I got a lady.
You got a lady?
Yeah, and that question comes up. I don't fucking adhere to that bullshit. How do I look? Ugh, you look great. No, I don't. Do I look great?
Gross. Just why go do you, with gross.
Why?
You look gross.
You don't like these shoes. It's a thing. It becomes a thing. I'm over it.
Amy Schumer put out a video that I was on like BuzzFeed and they're like, this video explains how women deal with each other. And I watched it and it was just this whole thing where like women will compliment each other and mm-hmm. the woman getting complimented, her whole thing is to shit on herself more.
Yeah.
She's like, you have a gray hat. This whole thing, oh, I got from my mom because my grandma died and it got some weird kind of haunted shit. It's just such a piece of shit, but great shoes. These shoes, oh my God. It's like I walked in dog shit. I don't even know why I'm. It's like this weird thing where they right. got to. But comedians will do that too. Sometimes people be like, hey, man, that was a great set. And you're like, in my head, you're like, it wasn't that great set. I'm not going to let you think that I thought that was a good set. So you'll start shitting on your set. Oh, it was nothing. The crowd was nobody was listening. I fucked up all these jokes. It's right. Like, I tell young comedians, I'm like, just take a compliment.
Yeah, take one.
Just take it. Nobody's overthinking anything, dude. Just fucking take the compliment. But just move on.
Catch us on the right month.
Yeah.
but dudes are way better at self-deprecating than girls are because that's why guys do that. That's why most male comics are able to fucking get through the trudging of the shit because you're able to go, well, you know, I fucking ate dick up there. It's so easy because guys can say that and then move along to the next thing. Whereas girls with self-deprecation, that's a tough line to walk because they're already facing so many constant neurotic evils of like, I don't look pretty. I'm not pretty.
Bringing that neuroses into that world is just...
So to say it out loud is like, that's the that's like literally walking on the edge of psychosis. Like, I'm going to lose my mind if I say out loud, I think I'm ugly. And people are like, yeah, kind of. And they're like, wait, really? Oh my... You know, they just die on the spot.
A lot of female comics are very funny because they try to get into the whole ball busting thing.
Yeah.
And you, as a man, I have to hold back very hard on like... I mean, with me and you, if we're all hanging out and we just start ball busting, I mean, it used to be called the triply low blow. We're like, okay, we'll play. Boom! And I just hit you low. You're like, dude, that was rough, but you'd still go with it.
Right.
With girls, you got to be like, you know, it's like, they'll start racking on my gut. They'll start, and I just got to be like, okay. And you can just like kind of just paw with them because if you start like hitting, you know, there could be tears and you don't want to be that guy.
Yeah. You don't want to hit him with a stinger. That's not worth it.
No. It's not my style, but they get, especially as I get older, they get so vicious with me.
Because,
you know, I know them and we work together, but man, they just get vicious. You're like, you're lucky I'm dead on the inside because that statement would normally hurt somebody.
Yeah.
So you got a girlfriend. Now, did you have a girlfriend when you were on MTV?
We weren't. No, I wasn't. I was on a tear when I was on.
I can't imagine. Well, I can't imagine. We had Steve Ranzisi on and we were telling a story about when we had gone to Guam and he was on MTV. And we'd walked into the strippers bar, and like MTV to strippers is like their CNN, you know? And just the crazy shit.
Yeah. It was insane. We had a crazy, crazy time. And you know how like it's like lightning in a bottle? Like all this shit happened at the exact right time. Like while we were on the show, a friend of a friend whose father was a multi-millionaire, he sold private jets. That summer, he came out to L.A., rented a house in the hills, and every day was a party. And I'm not, there's no hyperbole there. every day was a party, and there was always girls there, and there was always food and drinks. It was a living joke. I mean, it was like I felt like this was...
You were entourage for a summer.
Yes. I was literally in a...
Were you drama or turtle?
I was all of the... I was mostly E. No, I was fucking... you know what I was? I'll tell you who I was. I was the guy that would drink like 6 bottles of champagne and blackout and get in a lot of fucking trouble. I'd get myself in too much fucking trouble.
6 bottles every... of champagne will get you.
I did one night. It was bad. I didn't eat dinner. And he was like, as much vouv as you want. And I was like, it's my favorite. Blah, 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 blah. Like a fucking pig smoking cigarette. I don't even smoke. When you start smoking and you don't smoke, and I'm like, this is terrible, but I love every second
just
of
like
it.
Times the buzz by 2.
Oh, yeah. And it just because you just start to indulge in anything. What's that? Pills on the table? Whose are those? Mine now, gap. You know, it's just bad.
Yeah, dude.
Lamar Odom. What's that? Crack. Awesome.
Lamar. Lamar's here.
Lamar's here. We're smoking crack with Lamar.
Me on the driveway naked. Lamar's teaching me how to dunk, just scratching my fucking
hey,
neck.
Hey, I think we found Coney in the pool.
Get out of the pool, Coney.
Come on, Coney. Marco.
I feel like Los Angeles, you can have those moments. Those,
yes.
We're living the dream right now.
Yep.
The key, though, is to not get caught up in that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I got caught up in that for a while, and I was just, you know what, man? I had a lot of shit going on. I had a good time, but, you know, that can catch you, man, because you know how many people moved to L.A. to make it? All of them. You know how many actually do? A small part.
A very small.
Because those people don't get caught up in all the other white noise that's going
on. Well, you see it, though. When I'm partying up there, when we were in this crazy party mode.
Who's partying with you, dude? Can we know or you can't know?
I don't know.
Was there any comedians I know?
No comics.
Oh, really? So this was like...
This was a lot of famous fucking people and all their famous friends. Like,
really?
Yeah, it was like... One
name would be great. Just one random.
I'm trying to give you one really random one.
Worst case scenario.
The farthest fringe of out there. Not the main source guy, but just like, well, that guy just showed up.
Yeah.
Okay, like a random name?
Yeah.
Like a guy that's like in the vicinity was a, do you remember Asher Roth, the rapper?
Yeah.
The guy that did college?
Jesus Christ.
So like him, this is so weird. The kid from That 70s Show.
Wilmer Valderrama?
No. The main kid, Eric.
Topher Grace.
Topher Grace, who doesn't drink booze, by the way. Doesn't party.
Must be fun to go there.
It's just imagination.
Dude, I don't even care. If you're famous, like, you're on a show, you don't need to be drunk.
Nothing. You don't need anything.
You just need to say, take a number, get in line, let's do this.
You don't need anything. You don't need any help.
Now, how'd you meet these guys? They were friends of yours before?
You know, well, every time you're on the show, when we would bring celebrities on, and you make friends with one celebrity.
Right. Oh.
Here was the thing, though. I never went out of my way. I was lucky enough lucky is a weird word, but some of these guys took to me and they were like, hey, man, do you want to come fucking drink with us? And it was like very casual. And a lot of times I was like, nah, because it's a weird line with some of these people. You know, you're like, I don't know, man. This is fucking weird. But some people were, I was like, fuck yeah. And I would go out and then it's like one of these people shows up and 1,000 of them show up.
Right.
It's like they all fucking always know each other. So we'd go to a house and there'd be 15 famous people. Oh my God. And they're all, people start popping up. And then through that, they're like, you know, one guy's like, this guy's hilarious, you know, and then come over here. And then you're off with them to another place. And then the next week you find yourself with their,
and the girls,
it's
just
a domino
come.
Effect, but it's out with your, that's how you get caught up. And I was inside of it for a little bit, realizing I was like, I'm ending up in the weirdest places because people are like, you're really funny. But it's like, what the fuck is happening? Where am I going right now? Like crazy, weird shit. You're ending up in the weirdest places with the worst people. At some point, it's bail worthy. And you're like, I got to go.
Oh, yeah.
Because you see those girls. Yeah. You see the girls that move to L.A. that you say, like, the move here to make it girls. And it's almost really heartbreaking. Because, like, the moment you meet some of these girls, they don't even care who you are. But that you're there and they're like, I'll fuck you right now.
Okay,
right now.
Where's the heartbreaking part?
It's coming up. Same way for it.
Here it is.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that.
When they're blowing you, they're crying on your dick.
Wait for it.
Hold
Sam, it's
on.
Sam, it'll come
it's
soon.
It's not there
I've
yet.
I've never
Sam
had
getting
it.
It.
I haven't
Sam
had that.
Sniffing around.
I still like it.
They're sniffing around.
And they're crying, and there's a pool of tears on the top of the toilet tank. Mm-hmm. And they're looking at their reflection.
Oh, boy.
And they realize that Kansas really is home to them, and they need to go back. and that's where your heart breaks. I mean, you've come already.
You finish, yeah.
You're
you
wiping
finish,
off.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, man.
But at some point.
I think they're crying because they looked at the toilet and they know it's the Coke's all gone. Where's all the blow we had? All
right. Great to meet you. Click those heels.
I you know, I go on the road all the time, and I just meet these girls in the middle of nowhere, and they're so drop-dead gorgeous. And, you know, I just want to start this hot chick underground railroad and just get them to L.A. If I was young and I was high, come to L.A. Well, sometimes I say don't come to L.A., but I just enjoy your powers for a little while, then go back home. Do you know what I'm saying? I couldn't imagine what it must be like.
Those powers are amplified a little bit at home, though. No. I mean, granted, you're not pulling, you're not smoking.
But that runs out. Like that, like
well, because then they'll settle. That's what always happens.
Right, but when they come here, they're fucking kings. Yeah. You're a king for a short amount of time. Girls, that's the other thing. Girls can come out here within a month. Girls are at that party. It took me years to get to that fucking party.
100 party. And I was by that party and I was escorted out, man.
Right, right.
Because we get too fucking crazy. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, dude, it's a crazy ass thing. Young girls just, it's like, what a. And this town is all female right now. You know, it's like very pushing towards, again, going back to sports versus, you know, gossip and entertainment. It's women are king right now.
Yeah,
women
they're on
are
top
king.
Of the fucking world. The comedy world, they're fucking heavy right
they're
now.
They're running it,
Chocolate's
man.
Loving it.
Chocolate's loving it.
My loving little, every minute of it.
My little mocha twist in there is loving it.
Oh, yes.
But that's the truth. You guys are on top of the fucking world right now.
Yeah.
It's true. It's true.
Well, it's good.
Watch out now.
And they keep trying to, because like women have such huge buying power. You know, the demographic they're going after is 13 to like 26-year-olds.
Yeah.
Because during that age, people are buying those girls everything they want.
Right.
I want that. I want that. I want that. People's like, oh, God, okay, I got to buy this, keep her happy, you know?
Right.
It's and they try thing. To get that in the sports now, but just it's rejection. Guys are like, this is my thing. You can have everything else. You can literally run everything else, but I don't want to see chicks on SportsCenter. That's just me. I'm just a weird guy.
Well, listen, there's nothing worse to me than it's great when a girl likes sports, but there's nothing worse to me than when you hear the girl that's pretending to like it so much that it's getting under you. When she's like, "What? Hit it harder! Yeah. What is he doing?" And you're like, "You shut up, sit down. You don't know what the
or
fuck you're
talking
about."
Or she doesn't understand the etiquette of like not talking harsh shit. Like if they've just like that year, they're like, "That's my team because that's my boyfriend's team." And then that year, they're like, "The Steelers are fucking gay." You're like, "Sweetie,
stop
sweetie.
It.
Not how it works.
Stop
not
it.
How it works. Not how it works. Not how it works."
You know how many Clipper fans I've turned out?
Oh.
By just banging chicks, turning them into Clipper fans.
Oh.
There's just an army of fucking
Billy
Clipper
Crystal.
Fans out.
Billy Crystal. Yeah, yeah.
I crushed him.
Sam Tripoli is the reason Clippers have a team right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
No, I believe that Chris Paul signed because he fucked so many girls.
I talked to him.
Yeah.
We were at a Hollywood party.
Yeah.
I was just popping pills, drinking 6 bottles of champagne.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, you know what, Sam, I'm thinking about staying in L.A.
That's pretty cool. Well, I'm getting thrown out of this party, but you should totally fucking do that. Sick.
Such a shady fuck.
Hey, have you seen Lamar? He's my ride.
Yeah, he just left with Coney like 10 minutes ago.
Oh, shit. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Those poor kids.
Oh, man. So you're doing my comedy rap battles this Thursday.
Yeah,
are you excited about it?
Beyond excited. I can't fucking wait. It's one of those things when I've always wanted to do it, but it could go two ways. Not for me, but it could go two ways. Like, you know, when it's one of those.
Do you think you're gonna murder people?
I think
stage.
I'm gonna fucking have a great time.
I'm so I have to travel to do a USO, so I won't be able to be there. But we're gonna film it.
Yeah, film it.
And I'm
film
very excited about
I'm,
seeing you
I'm
light people
excited.
Up.
Yeah, I think it's like one of those things that goes hand in hand, like freestyle rap or rapping or. And I'm not taking anything away from it, but there's a very close parallel with improv and freestyle comedy on stage, which you know as I work a lot like that. So it's like, it's fantastic. I can't fucking wait.
No.
I'm excited as shit to do it.
I think the only redheaded famous rapper is the fat guy from Insane Clown Posse.
Yeah.
Are there any other ginger rappers? And is ginger the red people's N-word? Do you get offended by that when I say ginger? You like
it's not our N-word.
Like I dropped an N-bomb on you or some shit like that?
No. You could call me the N-word if you wanted to.
I like we've talked about I love getting called that in bed. It's very weird.
Really?
Yeah, I love it, dude.
Sam loves it.
I love
it. Sam loves girls' buttholes and getting called the N-word when he bangs them.
I do. I really do.
Yeah. So, I love how he's like directly looking at me like, please fucking call me back.
Yeah. You're glad there's that window there now.
Yes, I feel very safe and secure.
There is no N-word for the redhead. We don't fucking care. We don't have really any, our achievements are small. Like, there's
Why is that?
People don't want to. Listen, we're casting like little redheaded kids for my show to play me when I was a kid. And I was like proud for a moment. I was like, yeah, look at I'm getting redheads work. I felt good.
And then you're like, you know, maybe we make him blonde. Fuck it.
Yeah. I took one look at him and I was like, oh, shit. Get a brunette. Fuck
Christ.
It.
Pull those curtains down.
Get a normal kid.
Black kid play me? Anything.
Conan. Conan is like the biggest comedy redhead of all time. Bill Burr and Louis C.K. right now are the two fucking top kings of the world. So I will say redheads are destroying comedy right
They're
now.
They're killing it. Don't top stop. Two. Carrot Top, come on.
Carrot Top. I always forget about him.
People
for
can
some
give
reason.
Him
Not
shit.
A lot of people do. No.
That guy's been making minimum of 10 grand for about 30 years.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
10 grand. $10 million
a
year.
10 grand
for 30, a year. 30 years.
He's yeah. doing good. His face,
grand
the goodness is his face looks normal, too.
He's doing great.
He's literally pulling 4 figures a year. Killing it.
Carrot Top, can you got this bill? I think you guys got this bill. I made yeah. 10 grand this
I thought
year.
We were going Dutch. Speaking of Dutch. And he just puts a clog on the table. Huh? We going Dutch?
Oh, man. All right. Tell us about Mixology. I'm really happy for you. I think this is going to be a big, 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 big thing in your career.
I'm very proud of it, man. There's a lot of stuff. I don't know how proud I was of doing it, but I'm very proud of doing this. John Lucas and Scott Moore wrote The Hangover. They're the writers and the creators of this show.
Oh, my God. That's phenomenal.
And by the way, the coolest fucking dudes on the planet. Like, I thought I was like walking into a room with guys that are like, they wrote the highest grossing comedy in the history of, I was like, they're going to be like, fuck you, go away. They're the polar opposite. They're like two fucking totally nice.
They're new
dudes.
Money too, so that's great. They're new.
But they're both dudes that come from a place of, like, they obviously were humble. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's something along the lines of, like, they worked super hard to get to there.
Well, that's what I mean. They're the past few years. Yeah. They're not, like, they haven't been doing this shit for, like, 20 years.
Right, right, right. And then I think because of how that franchise worked, it worked in their betterment where, like, Todd Phillips took over it. They don't have anything to do with 2 and 3. They were just one. And in my opinion, they wrote the best fucking comedy that series ever touched.
You know,
so,
man,
like,
that will be one of the last of the great ones because it was the one movie that could stay ahead of the internet.
Yeah.
The internet's churning out so much crazy shit now. It's so hard to stay in front of it to be funny. And that movie got in front of it.
Yeah, beat it.
And took chance and blew people's minds.
Yeah, beat it out. It was such a fucking great thing for comedians. Like, it's great when they feature so many comic acts that you're like, fantastic, bro. Keep giving comedians work, not just funny actors, because for years, comedians had it, and then they disappeared. They were like, no more comedians.
Yeah.
And like, now it's good they're coming back.
We need the funny people again.
Yeah, they want that original funny, that like real old school deep. It comes from somewhere. So they did it, and they're great, and they're right. We have a fantastic – the writing team's huge. And then the first show was directed by Larry Charles, who did
– Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he did Borat and
Seinfeld.
And Seinfeld a lot. And, I mean, he's done a
big
million
beard.
Things. Yeah, big – yeah, he – okay, what Larry David looks like in Clear History, his new show on HBO.
Totally.
That's what Larry Charles looks like.
Yeah, he's in a couple episodes. You're like, good God.
Yeah, and he's the coolest fucking dude. So the show was really tits. I'm happy it went. And we have some phenomenal people directing coming up and – it's great, man. We're 4 episodes deep right now.
How many episodes you doing?
We're doing 12. It's fantastic. And I'm glad we're a single cam. You know, we're not in front of a live audience. Not that I wouldn't, you know, not that I'm against those, but I'm just happy that it's a single cam. We get to go crazy. You know, there's no restrict. Live audiences, it's just
Can you explain to our crowd the difference between multicam and single cam?
A multicam is a show that's taped in front of a live studio audience. A reference of a current multi-camera show would be like Big Bang Theory or... all those CBS shows are really. And a single cam show would be something along the lines of Arrested Development or your, you know,
The Office
and yeah, any of those talking heads, Parks and Recreation, 30 Rock. So that's the vein. It's that single cam vein, that same kind of humor. So I'm fucking stoked, man.
Well, man, could not be happier for you.
Thank
You've
you,
always been a great guy. Sounds like it's only going to get better. Congratulations. I hope you murder it.
at the comedy rap battles.
Hey, I'm gonna. For you, I will.
Thank you, dude. And it's great to see you blown up. Guys, great show, dude. Great show. A lot of great stuff going on. Guys, go to allthingscomedy.com. Check out what's going on with our podcast channel. Check out playboyradio.com. They got a lot of great stuff coming up. And if you get a chance, go to naughtyshow.net. Join our community. More and more people are joining. A lot of women are joining. I'm very excited about that. And follow us on Twitter, man. Anything to add there, Coleman? You talked zero.
I was the Lenny for this episode.
That was great, man. How'd you? Did you enjoy it, sitting on the couch?
It's a new experience. I'm digging it. I think I'm going to get used to it. I'm going to be here whether I'm invited or not from now on.
You're always invited, boss.
Tipping your hand a little bit. That's a tell.
Yeah.
We miss Vicky, miss Charlie, and anything you want to push?
No.
Okay. Well, guys, one more time, Andrew, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, brother.
Had a great time, and I won't be here next week. It's going to be you and Randall, the Honey Badger guy.
Yep.
So we'll see what kind of guests you guys get, and try not to fuck up our momentum, man.
Hey, good talk, Sammy.
Okay. Talk to you soon. Bye.